Hare Krishna. Maybe we'll do one time through a Jai Radha Madhava too. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gope Dana Bala Bhagri Vada Dari. Gope Dana Bala Bhagri Vada Dari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Damuna Tira Vanachari. Damuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachayastitara Sadashi Shimad is Ruan Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Iskan Pandura Chaya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachayastitara Sadashi Shimad is Ruan Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Sachidananda Bhakti Nurtakur Ki. Kokeshwar Das Babaji Maharaj Ki. Sarabhoma. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj Ki. Sadgo Swami Prabhu Ki. Haridas Thakur Ki. Ananta Kodi Vaishnavinda Ki. Premsukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vedagrad Har Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Ki. Shri Siddhartha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki. Vrindavanam Ki. Navadvip Mayapuram Ki. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki. Gangamaya Ki. Yamunamaya Ki. Tulasi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki, Gaura Premanandi. All glorious is some of devotees. All glorious is some of devotees. All glorious is some of devotees. All glorious is Shishi Guru and Gauranga. It's inspiring to see so many people here, even during break for Srimad Bhagavatam class and the morning program. Thank you for supporting Srila Prabhupada's morning program. So I just chose a verse, one of many of my favorite verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 6. And according to Kalakanta Prabhu, this is one of the ones you were supposed to memorize at one point. So you must be all very familiar with it. That's 1, 2, 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Savai Pum Sampado Dharmo. Itto bhaktir at hoksa jay. Ahai tukiya patiyata. The Atma Supersedity. Salaipum Samparo Dharmo. Ito Bhaktir Adhoksaje. Haitukhiya Pratiyata. Yatma Supersedity. Salaipum Samparo Dharmo. Ito Bhaktir Adhoksaje. Hai tu kia pratiyata. Yatma Supersedity. So as many people who want to can chant the verse. I just wanted to say that traditionally, like Prabhupada introduced this chanting in the verse so that we would actually learn the verses. And often, especially in this time period in ISKCON, people try to have as few people chant the verse as possible, but that wasn't really Prabhupada's intention. He wanted everyone who wanted it to chant it, so the more times we chant it, the more it sticks in our mind. Yeah.
Saraikum Samparo Dharmo Itohatira Hosade Ahaitukhiya Pratiyata Yama Sushasirati.
Anybody else?
Saraikum Samparo Dharmo
Saha, that, thy, certainly, pumsam, for mankind, paraha, sublime, dharmaha, occupation, yataha, by which, bhaktihi, devotional service, adhoksaje, under the transcendence, ahaituki, causeless, apatiyata, unbroken, yaya, by which, atma, the self, supersedity, completely satisfied. Translation. The supreme occupational dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service under their transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Please repeat. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity, is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service under the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Would someone like to start reading the purport?
In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part so that fallen people or the people in general might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called Pravritti Marg, or the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called Nivritti Marg, or the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries.
There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called a superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation or abnegation for ultimate good is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, that is, without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should therefore accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire. Fruitive actions and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service.
We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one existence. A living being's substance of existence is to coordinate his activities with his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of the living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form amongst all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his parts and parcels. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental love and service of the Lord, even in the present conditioned state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction.
So, this verse itself and this purport have just a lot of very wonderful points that both the speaker and Srila Prabhupada, the commentator, have to inspire us in a devotional service. One thing that I found very wonderful about Srila Prabhupada's presentation of religion is, although he's coming in a particular tradition, this is like Hinduism, and within Hinduism, Vaishnavism, and within Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Prabhupada explains actually eternal religious principles that are actually found in every religion, but he does so in a very straightforward and simple way. And also this literature, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, also presents religion in a very universal way. So here we're learning that basically unmotivated, uninterrupted service to the transcendent Lord is what religion is all about. One time one devotee was, we often talk about serving Krishna with love and devotion. One time one devotee was giving class on this verse of Vishnu Gadaprabhu, and he said, actually this idea of serving Krishna with love and devotion actually comes from this verse. Because when you think about it, if your service is unmotivated and uninterrupted, that's love and devotion. Unmotivated means you're not get out for something for yourself, but you're just interested in giving Krishna pleasure. So that's love. Ahaitaki is without motivation is love. And if you're always absorbed in something, then you're devoted to it. So apratiyata is devotion. So you can use this verse as evidence for that idea that Krishna should be served with love and devotion. There's actually a nice definition of love. It comes up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. it's one Bengali verse. Atmendriya priti vancha tari balikam. Desiring one's own sense gratification, that is known as kama, lust. Krishnendriya priti icha, dari premanam. But desiring to satisfy Krishna's senses, that is called prema or love. So when we think about this, a state of unmotivated and uninterrupted devotion to Krishna, that seems like something practically impossible to attain, actually. Because in the beginning, basically, we have unmotivated, uninterrupted devotion to our own sense gratification. And we've been doing it for many, many millions of lifetimes. So we're sort of stuck in a very, very, very deep rut. So it seems like practically an impossible idea to go from a pure unalloyed devotee of our senses to become a pure unalloyed devotee of Krishna's senses. So we may have different difficulties with this. For one thing, we may think that it's we may think it's actually unreasonable for Krishna to ask for such a level of service. And so that's one difficulty we may have. I mean, is Krishna really so great that we should serve him, you know? I mean, every single moment of every single day with, you know, I mean, how can I actually, you know, do this? And so one thing is we may think that it's like an unreasonable demand. And then another thing, even if we accept actually Krishna is God, I'm his servant, I actually should serve him 24 hours a day with great love. It's actually it's a defect in my character that I'm not able to do that. If we actually accept it and believe it, we may think that, well, it's actually impossible to do. It's just because I'm just so conditioned to do, you know, to act for my own selfish interest. It's actually, although it's a reasonable demand of Krishna to make, it's actually very unrealistic to think that I can ever do that. So there's different ways we can get past these impediments to actually, living this verse in our lives. One is basically to understand philosophically, our situation, that we are spiritual beings, that we're part of Krishna. Krishna's the supreme spiritual being, and that, it's perfectly natural for the part to serve the whole. Srila Prabhupada would use the analogy of the machine often. We may have a little screw that's part of the machine. But if the screw is just sitting on the table, the screw actually has practically no value at all. But if it's put in the right place in the machine works very nicely. Like let's say you have a car. You know, the spark plug is a very small thing. But if you don't have spark plugs in your car, the car won't go anywhere. So, and if the spark plug is just sitting on the table, it has practically no value. Maybe you could use it as a paperweight or something like that. But so many other things could be used as paperweights. It doesn't have, its purpose isn't being utilized. So we are actually part of Krishna. And when we're acting in conjunction with Krishna, we actually feel satisfaction because that's our identity. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would explain that, self-realization and God-realization go together. If we're self-realized, then we're also God-realized because our self is part and parcel of God. And if we're God-realized, we're also self-realized because part of knowing God is to know God's parts and parcels, which are ourselves. So, from the point of view of spiritual knowledge, considering that we actually are spiritual beings, we're not this gross material body, that our soul is actually naturally meant to serve God. There's another nice verse from the Bhagavatam that goes along these lines. What I like about it, in our tradition, there's lots of analogies. There's some analogies that are there in the scriptures themselves, and other analogies that the great acharyas, teachers have given, and some Prabhupada has given from his own life. There's this very beautiful verse. Yatha toro mulam nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhajopashaka punaparajta yatendriyanam tataiva sarvahanam achucheja. So this one verse has two beautiful analogies in it. One is that by watering the root of the tree, one automatically nourishes all the parts of the tree, the trunk, the twigs, the leaves, the flowers, the fruits. Every aspect of the tree is nourished just by putting water on the root of the tree. So when we serve Krishna, actually the verse says sarvarhanam. Arhana means worship and sarva means all. We actually worship everybody by worshiping the Supreme Whole. And thus we give pleasure to Krishna, we give pleasure to everybody else, and we give pleasure to our own soul, who is part of Krishna. And then the other one is by serving the senses of the by serving the stomach, we automatically nourish all the senses of the body. And it's such a practical analogy because like if we saw somebody watering a tree with an eyedropper, putting a little bit of water on each leaf, right? We would think these guys are crazy. But when people engage in welfare work and try to render service to the individual living entities without reference to the supreme living entity, they're doing exactly that. They're just like putting drops of water on the leaves of the tree and ignoring the root. Right now because some religions have been preached in a very dogmatic, sectarian way, people actually lost faith in the idea of religion in general. For example, some religions, they advertise God is all merciful, but that he also has a program of eternal damnation. For a finite number of sinful acts, he's willing to punish people forever. It's very interesting because we think of God as the Father, right? So let's take an ordinary father in human society. Is there something his kid could do so bad that father would want to see him suffer forever? I don't think there is, really. And that's just an ordinary father. What to speak of an all-merciful father? So some people, they get turned off on religion and they become what's called like secular humanist. And they have a completely atheistic view of the world, but they have an idea that we should be good to people. So those people are exactly like the people who are trying to water all the leaves of the tree without watering the root. Because they lost faith that there is a root because of the of such a bad presentation of religion. So one point I wanted to make was, due to the spiritual knowledge, we understand we're part and parcel of Krishna, therefore we should serve Krishna. Another way we can argue why it makes perfect sense to serve Krishna in such a unmotivated and uninterrupted way, because that we do have a propensity for loving relationships. There are people that we like so much that we're willing to do things for them just because we like them. Maybe they're not very many, but probably everyone has at least one person in their life that at least one time they've actually done something nice for them just because they like them and not because they're expecting some benefit from them. And people enjoy that. Like, for example, people enjoy serving Krishna lunch, for example. Some people volunteer to serve Krishna lunch, not getting paid for it, just because they believe in it, they think it's a good thing, the people are good, the food's good, they want to support it, you know. So that tendency there to render service is there when we are attracted by the qualities of someone. If somebody is very friendly toward us, if they're very intelligent, they're very witty, they're very beautiful, we may have some spontaneous attraction for them, and we may do nice things for them just because we like them. So Krishna, he is the reservoir of all good qualities imaginable. He's the most beautiful. He's the most witty. He's the most friendly. He's the most amazing person. So just on the basis of his amazing transcendental qualities, we should feel spontaneously interested in serving him. And the reason that we don't in our conditional state is simply that we're not actually remembering how wonderful Krishna is. And that's why Srila Prabhupada gave us all these literatures. Like, we were reading the Krishna book last night. Right? So in the Krishna book, you can see how Krishna relates to different people in different ways. And and these different relationships, Krishna is all pleasing. Like this, like the story reading last night was about Shatrajit, who had acquired this amazing jewel that produced 170 pounds of gold every day. And Krishna suggested that he give this jewel to the king Ugrasena, because the king should get the best of whatever there is in the creation. So this Shatrajit, he didn't want to give it to Ugrasena, because then he'd lose 170 pounds of gold per day, and he wasn't really into it. He was sort of materially motivated, you know. But, so it's a very long and involved story. But what happened was, basically, Shatrajit's brother was carrying a jewel around just to show off. Look, I got this great jewel. It produces 170 pounds of gold every day. It's really shining and beautiful. So he's traveling around with it, and he got killed by a lion. And then this Jambavan killed the lion and took the jewel. And he had the jewel. But Shatrajit, all he knew was the jewel disappeared, and his brother had it last. So he dreamed up this story that Krishna had actually killed his brother Prasena and taken the jewel. So this was a great blasphemy. You know, he had no evidence for this at all, but he dreamed up this. So you'd think that Krishna would be really upset with the guy and would want to do something really nasty to him, you know, because so Krishna found out that Jambavan had the jewel, and Jambavan also was very attached to the jewel and didn't want to give it up. So Krishna fought with him for 28 days and finally defeated him. And then when he got the jewel back, he went back to Dwarka and he explained the whole story of the jewel in the presence of the Shatrajit. And after that, he gave jewel back to Shatrajit and said, put it back in the temple and worship it and get your 170 pounds of gold every day. And even though that wasn't his original desire, just because this guy was so attached to this jewel, even though he was such a disrespectful person to dream up this horrendous rumor, and that Krishna had to go through so much trouble to establish that he was innocent. Then after all that, Krishna says, you can have the jewel back, you know. So Krishna is so friendly. He discounted all that trouble that he went through, and he discounted his own desire to give the jewel to Ugrasena. He said, you can keep the jewel. So Krishna has these amazing good qualities, even if people like Putana, for example. Putana had this, we talk about how there's in this age is the demoniac and the divine nature are within the same heart. Well, that was how it was with Putana, even in the previous age. She was very much attracted to the Lord, but at the same time she wanted to kill the Lord. So she had this program of smearing her breast with this poison when Krishna was a little kid, and offering to nurse the baby with the idea that she would kill Krishna. So you would think the offense of killing God, trying to kill God, would be such a great offense. I mean, if God did punish anybody with eternal damnation in hell, you think it would be somebody who tried to personally kill God, right? But even though this rascal Putana tried to kill the Lord, he accepted the essence of her offering her milk and promoted her to the position of mother in the spiritual world. And so, actually, I mean, these qualities of Krishna are actually so, they're inconceivably, they're beyond any dream of mercy that we can think of. Even if we imagine the most merciful person in the world, we couldn't imagine anyone as merciful as Krishna. So Krishna is actually filled with all these, enchanting qualities. And basically the only reason that we're not all spontaneously attracted to Krishna is that we're not actually focusing on these qualities. We're not reading Krishna book every day. and we're not thinking about him all the time. But by engaging in this practice of devotional service, we'll become more and more conscious of Krishna, and we'll become more and more attracted to Krishna. And then this conception of serving Krishna without motivation, without interruption, 24 hours a day, will seem like a very appealing and reasonable and desirable thing, instead of something that's like, you know, we can't relate to and is practically unattainable, and why is he demanding such surrender anyway? Who do you think he is? And so, another thing is sometimes people worry, suppose I spend all my time serving Krishna, what about me? What's going to happen to me if all I do every day is fulfill Krishna's desires? But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's this very nice verse, 9:22. Let's see, let's go. You want to say, yeah. Which means, right, meditating on my transcendental form, right? Yeah. Krishna says he carries what they lack and he preserves what they have. So God himself is willing to like provide whatever we're missing, and whatever we have, he's willing to maintain it. Therefore, we don't actually have to worry. It's not like anybody serves Krishna lunch and then at the end of the day there isn't any prasadam left over for them, right? Even that, we'll serve that elaborate feast on Monday night, but still all the servers did get something to eat. It wasn't that they were cheated out of their quota or anything. So it's actually an illusion to think that by completely devoting ourselves to Krishna that we won't be taken care of. I mean, Krishna is the most magnanimous and merciful person. Of course, if we dedicate everything to him, he will actually take care of us quite nicely, actually. So another doubt is that, well, we have so many material desires in our heart, how can I actually get to the place where I have unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna? Actually, it's impossible for me to give up all these material desires. You know, it's like I've been practicing devotional service for so many years and still these material desires are there. How will I ever be able to give them up? It's completely unreasonable or impossible or whatever. So the idea is, there's this very nice verse that speaks about that. Srinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana ridayanta stoi badvani vidaron tisur satam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who's the super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who's developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So Krishna himself says he will cleanse the dirt from our heart. He will take away these material desires from our heart. All we have to do is develop the urge to hear his message. So you're all very fortunate. You're here to hear the message. 1:2:17. So there's a pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, they were cleaning the Gundicha temple. When Lord Jagannath gets onto the Ratha Yatra cart and goes on procession, at the end of the procession, he goes to a temple called Gundicha and he stays there for a week. And Gundicha is said to be the representation of Vrindavan, whereas the Puri Mandir is the representation of Dwarka, where Krishna is worshipped in opulence. This Gundicha is where Krishna is worshipped in spontaneous love, and it's a beautiful garden area. And he stays there for 1 week, and then he does another rath back to the Jagannath temple. So Lord Chaitanya, before Lord Jagannath went to Gundicha, Lord Chaitanya and his associates cleansed the Gundicha temple. It's called Gundicha Marjam, and it's on the calendar. Sometimes we cleanse our own temples on that day, just in the spirit of remembering that pastime. So, in that pastime, all the devotees sweep up dirt, and Lord Chaitanya sweeps up dirt. And all the devotees put their dirt in one pile, and Lord Chaitanya puts his dirt in another pile. And the pile of the dirt swept up by Lord Chaitanya is much, much, much greater than the pile of all the devotees together. All the devotees put together, they have this little pile, and Lord Chaitanya has this huge pile. So, if Krishna gets in the business of cleansing dirt, he's much, much better. Not just better than our individual self, but better than all, many, many people put together. So if Krishna has his mind to cleanse the dirt from our heart, it's definitely possible. So we just have to become eager to hear about him. So how to become eager to hear is also mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the previous verse, 1:2:16. Shushu sho shradidana siya vasudeva katha ruchi shan mahat sevaya vipra punyatirta nishevina. That by rendering service to persons who are completely free from all vice, saintly persons, great service is done. By such service one gains an affinity to hear the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Just by serving. If we find devotees who are very much attracted to hearing about Krishna, and we serve those devotees, just by serving those devotees, we'll also become attracted to hearing about Krishna. And there's another clue given in the Upadeshamrita, number 7, which is an analogy, actually, to a patient who has jaundice. So jaundice is a liver disease, and apparently when you have this jaundice, if you take sugar candy, it tastes very bitter. But the sugar candy actually helps to cure the disease of the liver. So even though the sugar candy tastes bitter, if you take it every day, then gradually the liver disease goes away, and the sugar candy tastes sweet again. So this is a very beautiful analogy made by Rupa Goswami, that in the beginning we may not feel like hearing the glories of the Lord. We may want to hear about some rock star, some sports hero, some politician. There's so many people are being talked about in the newspapers and on the internet. We may be attracted to hearing about. and we may not really care to hear about Krishna's pastimes. But if every day we take the medicine of hearing about Krishna's pastimes in a regulated way, like we have a class in the morning, we have a class in the evening, and we hear regularly every day, this avidya, the disease of avidya, ignorance, will be cured by this regular hearing, and our natural taste for these pastimes, which are actually very sweet, will be awakened, and we'll actually come to love hearing about Krishna's pastimes. So these are two strategies. One is to serve the great devotees who are free from vice and who are attracted to Krishna already, and the other is to, in a regulated way, hear about Krishna every day, just as Prabhupada encouraged in our temples. We should have a morning and evening class and kirtan every day, so we can hear. Hearing is two: hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Sankirtan of the Holy Name, and also hearing the Shastra, the instructions and the Leelas, the pastimes of the Lord. So one of the problems we run into is because it's difficult to conceive of attaining a stage of unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service, we sort of sell out for a mixed devotional service. So it may be that at our present state we have material desires, but we shouldn't forget the goal is to unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna. Because if we sort of like sell out to our material desires, then we'll just have to come back and get another miserable body in the material world, and we won't make it back to the spiritual world, because in the spiritual world, everyone has this attitude of unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna. So, yes? Yeah, well, we actually just, one of our memorization verses, I don't know if it was a memorization verse, it was when we talked about Prahlad Maharaj, in talking to his father, he delineated 9 different items in devotional service. One is hearing about Krishna. First 3 is hearing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, and remembering Krishna. These are the primary ones, but we can't do these all the time. So serving Krishna, worshipping Krishna, offering prayers to Krishna, becoming the servant of Krishna, becoming the friend of Krishna, and offering everything to Krishna. These are the 9 items of devotional service. In this age, hearing and chanting about Krishna are stressed, and that comes from chanting our japa, also hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are the 4 main books Prabhupada advised. If we haven't read those 4 books, we should read those 4 books. And if we have read those 4 books, we should read them again. Yeah. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is the four main books. Prabhupada mentions them in one purport. And he said if my disciples don't regularly read my books, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down, and miss the chance to enjoy an eternal blissful life. He mentions in the purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we shouldn't, even though it seems like an impossible state to attain, we shouldn't lose sight of the goal. We are aiming for pure devotional service, and maybe now our devotional service is mixed, but it's not that we're practicing mixed devotional service. We're practicing pure devotional service, and due to our past conditioning and our imperfection, what you actually see is mixed devotional service. But we're actually practicing pure devotional service. And one point even Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. And then when people asked him about what he meant, he explained that because they've all accepted this process of pure devotional service, even though they may have different other things going on in their minds and they may occasionally slip up, because they've actually surrendered themselves to perform this practice, only time is separating them from when they become pure devotees. Because this process of devotional service is purifying the soul, and it's just a matter of time before we become completely purified, as long as we don't intentionally commit the 10 offenses. And as the Sunanda Prabhu kindly reminded us yesterday, that the worst offense is inattention. Because according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even if we can eliminate all the 10 offenses, if we're still inattentive, we won't attain Krishna. Because Krishna is His holy name. And if we chant attentively, that means we don't really care about Krishna. We care about something else. Whatever we're paying attention to that isn't the holy name is what we care about. And the holy name, we're not caring about. So that's why inattention is very bad, because Krishna is personally present in the form of His transcendental sound vibration. So Krishna is personally present, and we're looking somewhere else, although Krishna's present. And what an insult. Right? It's like if Krishna came to your place, and you didn't open the door, or you didn't offer him a seat, or you didn't say anything to him, it'd be really bad. So that's like what it is like when we're thinking about other things, when we're chanting, and we're not hearing the holy name. So there's one story about attention. Basically, it's a very elaborate story. The great storytellers can spend at least half an hour telling the story, but it can also be told in 30 seconds. For those of us who are not storytellers or don't have so much time. There was one very sinful person, and he had a very pious brother. I forget the sinful guy's name. The pious brother was named Gokarna. And his brother was so sinful that he came back as a Brahma Rakshasa, ghost. In his next life, and even though Gokarna offered the pinda to the ancestors and stuff, he was so impious, he remained a Brahma Rakshasa ghost. It didn't work in his case. So he was wondering, what can I do to save my brother? And the people of the village said, hey, there's one saint, he knows everything, you should ask him. So he asked the saint, what can I do to save my brother? He's so sinful. I did pinda and still he remains a Brahma Rakshasa ghost. He said, the secret is he must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. You have Srimad Bhagavatam recited in his presence and he'll be completely purified. So Gokarna arranged a Bhagavatam recitation, and this ghost, he took shelter of a bamboo rod in the room where the Bhagavatam was being recited, and at the end of every day the bamboo rod had 7 knots in it. One of the knots exploded, and at the end of the 7 days, the last knot exploded, and this Brahma Rakshasa ghost gave up his ghostly form and actually attained a spiritual form and went back to Vaikuntha, and everyone was blown away. Man, this guy was so sinful, and just by hearing the Bhagavatam for 7 days, he attained Vaikuntha. And then other people were there also listening to the Bhagavatam, but they didn't attain Vaikuntha. So they had a doubt. So Gokarna went back and asked the sage, well, your your project, your program of purification worked. My brother became so purified he actually attained Vaikuntha. But how is it that the rest of us, we all heard the Bhagavatam, and we weren't anywhere near as sinful as my brother was. How come we're still here? And he got to go back to Godhead. And the saint said, oh, because he was suffering very, very much as a Brahma Rakshasa ghost, he heard the Bhagavatam very, very attentively. And because he heard the Bhagavatam very attentively, just in 7 days, he became so purified, he attained Vaikuntha. But because you guys are just spacing out, you're still here. So basically, they had another recitation of the Bhagavatam, and everybody heard it attentively, and everyone attained Vaikuntha. So this is only half of my presentation, so the next time I give class, I'll give the other half of the presentation, because it's time to end. So at any rate, in summary, this is the essential religious principle. Read the verse again. The supreme occupational duty for all mankind is that by which one can, attain loving service to the supreme transcendence. The supreme transcendental Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. So if you want to be completely satisfied, and you're not completely satisfied, just get rid of the interruptions and the motivations in your devotional service, and everything will be okay. Yes. That's one very important point from that story, yeah. Actually, the most important thing in our spiritual advancement is eagerness. Yeah. If we're very eager, then we'll be very attentive to hear. He was very eager. He was suffering very bad as a ghost. So he was very eager to do. One definition of a sincerity is when, if somebody gives you some program, you know, to get your desired goal, if you follow that program very strictly, then you're sincere. You know? The thing is, it's not difficult for Krishna to make people suffer enough so that they're eager. It's not difficult for Krishna to make people suffer enough so they're eager. You know, like sometimes, you know, people get in car accidents or, you know, all kinds of things happen. So, but the best thing is to understand actually how these miseries of birth, death, disease, and old age, they're not just theoretical. They're actually going to happen to us. And like this year, I know 4 people who left their body. In 2000, I think it was 2008, I knew 5 people who left their bodies. Like every year, like my friends are dying off one after another, you know? So it's like, it becomes less theoretical when you see these things happening. We have to understand from hearing the Shastra about the miseries of the material world if we haven't experienced them. And from looking around, seeing how the other people, like there's this advertisement about this devotee in this nursing home to visit him, you know, because he has prostate cancer and, you know. So, I mean, that's sort of a miserable condition to be, you know, he could be here at the temple hearing and chanting, but because of this disease, he's hanging out in this nursing home. I mean, suffering, you know. So we see the suffering around us, and that could just as easily be us, you know. All the miserable things that are happening to other people, we're waiting in line, actually. So, right, yeah, Krishna, as was mentioned in the purport that Sunanda quoted yesterday, there's 4 kinds of reasons people come, because they're in distress, they're in need of money, and that they are inquisitive, and that they're wise. So distress is one of the big reasons people come. So now that all the prasadam is served out, we're going to chant the prasadam prayer for the pleasure of the Vaishnavas.